This message is a ministry of North River Church. Visit us online at gonorthriver.org.
Thank you, Pastor Scott and worship team, for leading us into the presence of the Lord this morning. I want to encourage you to grab your Bible and join me in Luke chapter 1. Once again, Luke chapter 1, we will pick up in our series beginning in verse 57. And as you're making your way to Luke chapter 1, I wanted you to know someone brought this to me, and it was dropped in the offering basket. Yeah. And so I had an elaborate plan worked out that I was going to let you know how much we had left in our land fund to pay the land off, and that you could get this back once you wrote a check. Here's the thing. I wanted to share this with you. Just got word, church family, that we have officially paid off our church property. Which means that this little figurine that cost $30,000 or so now costs $1 million. So that we can build a building. Does that sound good? Any takers? In the name of Jesus. Going once, going twice, all right. Church family, what an exciting place for us to be as a church, and as we look forward to all that God is going to do right down the road on our church property. We're so excited about that. But as we celebrate this season, I want us to once again remind ourselves that Jesus is the true reason that we celebrate. Not only did Jesus come to this earth as a baby in a manger, but Jesus went to the cross for you and for I. We've entitled this series, The Cross and the Manger, reminding us that this baby that was born in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago would be the Savior who would go to the cross and take on our sin and pay that debt that we owed. As we look, beginning in verse 57 of Luke chapter 1, we're going to see the story recorded of John the Baptist's birth. Now, I don't want you to forget where we are in the book of Luke. We began by being introduced to a man by the name of Zechariah, who was in the temple serving the Lord, and his wife's name was Elizabeth, and she was barren. They had no kids, and the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, came and told Zechariah, as he was serving the Lord in the temple, that they would have a son, and their son would be the forerunner, would be the prophet, would lead the way for the Messiah, Jesus, to come on the scene. And we've been tracking with that story as Gabriel went to Mary and told Mary that she would bear the Christ child. And then we saw the interaction between Mary and Elizabeth last week as we unpacked the fact that Elizabeth recognized as soon as Mary came in that John, this baby, leapt within her womb. And she said that this baby, Mary, that you're carrying, this is the Messiah, the long-awaited King that we have been looking for. It's time now for John, this forerunner of Jesus, to be born. So I want us to look, beginning in verse 57, in a message entitled, He Must Increase and I Must Decrease. Verse 57, Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, No, he shall be called John. And they said to her, None of your relatives is called by this name. And they made signs to his father. Remember at this point that Zechariah, because of not believing God's promise that he would have a son, has been mute from this point forward after the prophecy. And so they make signs to him and they ask him, What is this child to be called? Verse 63, he asked for a writing tablet and he wrote down his name is John. And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in all holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Have you ever met someone that wanted it all to be about them? Now's not the time to elbow your neighbor. I mean, you think about it, all of us at some point in time have wanted the spotlight to be on us. I mean, after all, at some point, at least once in our lives, we deserve the spotlight for it to all be about us. You think about our kids as they celebrate their birthdays. I mean, they want everyone to be focused on them. In fact, one of the things that we do at our home, I don't recommend this necessarily, but it's something that we do. We have a credit card, which if you're a Dave Ramsey fan, I apologize. We have a credit card, and we use that credit card to pay our monthly bills, and we pay it off at the end of the month. And so that's kind of the pattern, and we build up points, and this credit card that we used is an IHG credit card, which stands for International Hotel Group. And because we have this card, we are officially platinum elite members at any Holiday Inn Express we go to. So we get this card, and we've been racking up points, and we go to stay one night at the Holiday Inn. In fact, I was gone to a meeting. Janie wasn't with me, and I walk in. And the lady at the register, I said, you know, "Here's my name, here's reservation information and all that." And she says, "Oh, Mr. Kennedy, you are one of our platinum elite members. I want to thank you for staying with us. We know that there are numerous hotels that you could go to, but you have chosen to stay at the Holiday Inn." Now, Mr. Kennedy, we have some options of things that we'd like to give to you for staying with us. One is we can credit you with more points on your card, which I'm a cheapskate, so I took that. But then they offered a ice-cold glacier water. Now, in that moment, I must confess, I felt pretty important. In fact, I heard the gasps from the people behind me in line. "He's a platinum member." I'm just kidding. I didn't hear that at all. Nobody else was staying there. I'm not sure why. I think for all of us, though, at some point, we want the spotlight to be on us. And as you read this story, you realize that John's birth was a momentous occasion in the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth. They had been barren, they had no kids. In fact, they were well past childbearing years, and so it was pretty much assumed they would not have any kids, and yet the angel Gabriel says, no, you're going to have a son, and he's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. And we get to verse 57, and it comes time for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. You got to know at this moment, for Zechariah and for Elizabeth, I mean, the spotlight in this situation would have been easy for them to put it on John. This son that they've been longing for, this son that they had been waiting for, this son who the Lord has sent to them. And as you encounter the text this morning, I want you to realize that Zechariah, and I want us to focus in beginning in verse 68, after they have decided that they're going to call him John as Gabriel the angel had told them. And the questions in the people's minds are, what then will this child be? Must be special. He's supposed to be Zechariah Jr., but they're calling him John. Something's different about this child. And Zechariah is about to do something that, as a dad, I find remarkable. Because when you have a child, and you're in the hospital, and child's just born, you want the spotlight on that child. You want everybody to know. I mean, you're tweeting and Facebooking and Instagramming, and you want everyone to know you had a baby. And the spotlight in that moment is on that baby. But Zechariah redirects the spotlight in this story. From being on John, this baby that has come that they've been waiting for and longing for, but he shifts the spotlight, he moves it on to the Lord and this coming Messiah. So if you're taking notes this morning, I've got a lot I want you to write down, and so I apologize. I hope you inked your pen up. You're ready to go this morning. But here's the first thing I want you to see. Zechariah redirects the spotlight onto what God has done in bringing the Messiah. Look with me at verses 68 through 75. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And he has raised up for us a horn of salvation in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Now, if you notice in those verses, not once does Zechariah, after experiencing the birth of this son, even mention John's name. When the spotlight could have been all on John and the fact that John is here. In fact, Zechariah redirects the spotlight from John to the Lord. I want you to notice how he does that. He does that firstly by reminding us that God has visited his people and brought salvation. Verse 68 and 69. Blessed be the God, the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. See, the spotlight could have been on John, but here's what Zechariah knows. John can't bear the spotlight like God can bear the spotlight. And in fact, this was a great miracle that John came into the world at all, but here's what Zechariah wants those sitting around him to know. He wants them to know that God has visited his people, that God has brought salvation. That the point is not John, the point is the Messiah that is coming into the world. He keeps going here and he reminds the people also that God has fulfilled his promise in sending his son. Verse 70, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets of old. It's not just that Jesus stepped foot on the scene without any fanfare. In fact, the scriptures from Genesis all the way through are looking and longing and waiting on the day when the Messiah, Jesus, would come. And Zechariah, in this moment when the spotlight could have been on John, says, no, the spotlight needs to be on the Lord because he's fulfilled his promises. He's brought the Messiah to this world. Not only that, but Zechariah reminds those that are sitting around him and us as well that God has granted his people abundant life. It says in verse 71 that we should be saved from our enemies. This Messiah who is coming into the world, this long-awaited one, God has visited his people. He's offered salvation. He's fulfilled his promises. And here's what we can expect as those who follow him, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to redeem his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. See, Zechariah in this moment knows that he could shine the spotlight on his son, but his son can't bear that spotlight. And the only one who can is the Messiah who's coming into the world to set all things right, to redeem his people, to offer salvation that they've been longing for. See, in this moment, what we have to be reminded of as we go into this Christmas season, there's a lot of things that grab for our attention. In fact, there's a lot of things that in our own lives personally, we can shine the spotlight on this time of year. We can shine the spotlight on gathering together as a family. And there's nothing wrong with gathering as a family. We can shine it on giving the perfect gift. How many of you, just be honest with me, have spent hours scrolling through Amazon trying to find the perfect gift? We put a lot of pressure on that. You think about your kids and you look and you just can't wait to see their faces on Christmas Day light up because of this gift that you give them. There are a lot of things, good things, that we can be tempted to shine the spotlight on this time of year. But church, I'm here to tell you this morning, there's only one person who can bear the spotlight being on them. And his name is Jesus. See, he's the only one who all of our hopes and dreams can rest on. He is the only one who has been the perfect gift that was given. He's the only one who bears the weight of the spotlight being on him. And church, I'm just being honest, if we're not careful, we will direct the spotlight of our lives onto many things this time of year. We'll focus on many things this time of year, but there's only one thing. There's only one person who can bear the weight of all the spotlight being on them. So let me ask you this morning, what are you doing in your life personally, in the life of your family, to make certain that you enjoy all of the trappings of this Christmas season, but that you shine the spotlight where the spotlight needs to go? How do you make Christ the center of your Christmas? How do you focus your time and your effort and your energy on being certain that Christ is lifted up this time of year? How do you take your kids and direct them from thinking that when they wake up Christmas morning, the spotlight should be on them, when in reality it should be on Christ? How do we focus our lives around the true meaning of this Christmas season? See, because here's what I know and here's what you know. The gifts that we give on Christmas morning, by Christmas afternoon, are either broken or your kids are playing with a box. And you've spent all that time finding the perfect gift, and they don't even care. Or you've been looking and longing for the time that you get to get together as a family and enjoy being able to spend time with even your crazy family members. And you show up and someone says something that just sets you off. And your hopes have been on what a wonderful time this Christmas season is going to be. And you leave thinking, I'm never coming back. The reality is, those are good things, but they are not ultimate things. The ultimate thing this Christmas season is Jesus. Nothing else can bear the spotlight being on it like Christ can. And if we're not careful, we'll spend this Christmas season focusing on any number of other things, and Christ will simply be a footnote in this holiday, and we'll walk away without the joy and hope that we were meant to have. Zechariah not only redirects the spotlight to what God's done in bringing the Messiah, but beginning in verse 76 and through verse 79, Zechariah commissions his son with this charge: prepare the way for the Messiah to come. Look with me at verse 76. He says, you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. Now you think about that and you look and you think, I mean, that's a pretty big compliment. That this son that he's talking to, he moves from talking about the Lord at this point to talking to his son about the Lord. And he says to John, John, you are going to be the prophet of the Most High. And you would think in that moment that maybe he's kind of checked the box and he's said what he needed to say about the Messiah coming, Jesus coming into the world, and now he gets to get to the good part because he gets to focus on John. But in fact, he's going to this little baby that's just been born, focus him on what his role is with regards to the Messiah. For you will go before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to His people in the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God. whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Zechariah to John says, John, you've got a mission. And that mission is not about you. I could put the spotlight on you, but John, you're just simply preparing the way for the Messiah who is deserving of the spotlight. And your life is going to be focused on how to make Jesus the main thing. I titled this message, He Must Increase and I Must Decrease, because John, at the very end of his ministry, as he's preparing the way for the Messiah, people will ask John, John, should we follow you or should we follow Jesus? And John says, that's easy. You follow Jesus. He must increase and I must decrease. I want you to notice what Zechariah says to his son. John, you will go before Jesus, not because you're greater than him, but so that you can prepare the way for him. He says, for you go before the Lord to prepare his ways. You ever prepared for someone to come? We've been doing that at our house. We've got family coming into town tomorrow. And we just moved into a new house, repainted everything minus a couple of bathrooms. And yesterday I had the bright idea that it won't take me long at all. I'll just paint one of the bathrooms, which turned into 10 hours of painting both bathrooms, rehanging pictures, making it look right. You know what I'm talking about. Why? Not for me. We were preparing the way for our family to come. And I'm going to make sure they know it when they get here. Right? But see, that's the thing that Zechariah says here to John. John, you're going to prepare the way for the Messiah to come. It's not going to be about you. In fact, nobody notices typically all the work that goes into preparing the way for someone to come. And Zechariah says to his baby son, you're going to prepare the way for the Lord to come. Not only that, John, but you're going to proclaim that forgiveness is possible through this Messiah who offers salvation. Look at verse 77. You're going to prepare his ways to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. Oh, John, your mission is not about you. In fact, your mission is simply to proclaim that this Messiah who is coming into the world, that he is bringing with him salvation, and he's making it possible for sins to be forgiven and for life to be lived as it was intended to be lived. The spotlight is not on John. The spotlight here is on Jesus. And he closes it out in verse 79 by saying this. John's going to offer people what they desperately need. What do you think your greatest need is today? Verse 79, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The problem with the world in which we live, the problem with all of us, is that we are in darkness and without peace. In fact, if you would describe the human condition prior to meeting Jesus Christ as our Savior, that's what you could describe it as. Darkness and chaos. In fact, before Jesus steps foot on the scene, that's what the world was living in. It was living in darkness and in chaos. And John is going to proclaim the glorious truth that Jesus is coming into the world and He is bringing light and He is bringing peace. He's bringing light into the darkness. He's bringing peace into the chaos. That is the message of hope this Christmas season. There are people in our community. There may be people in this room this morning. Be people that live in our neighborhood. There are people that we're going to see in the stores. And in all honesty, in their lives in this moment, they are in darkness and in chaos. And they're wondering, is there any light? Is there any peace? And John's mission, his dad has commissioned him with, is to proclaim to the world that light has come into the darkness, that peace has come into the chaos. You say, how has that happened? Jesus is the light of the world. He is the Prince of Peace. John's mission, John's purpose, his father says, is to prepare the way for Jesus. Believer, that is your mission and your purpose as well. In a world that is filled with darkness, in a world that is filled with chaos, we as Christ's children, we have the message of hope. We know the Prince of Peace. We know the light of the world that has come into the darkness. And our mission is the same as John's mission. It's to prepare the way for Jesus to change lives. Let me ask you, who do you know that needs to know that there is light in the darkness? Who do you know that needs to know that in the chaos they're walking through right now, that there is peace? You know, in this Christmas season, people are often more open to hearing the gospel and responding to the truth of who Jesus is. If we're not careful, church, we will be so absorbed with our own lives, so absorbed with our own families, so absorbed with finding the perfect gift, with having the house decorated just right, that we'll lose sight of the reason that God has saved us. It's so that we can proclaim this time of year who Christ is. Because people need to hear it. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning and close your eyes. And I want to give you an opportunity this morning to respond to the Lord. As you pause this morning and reflect on this passage of Scripture, I just want to ask a few questions and give you an opportunity to think through them. Where are you directing the spotlight this Christmas season? Is Christ the center of your Christmas? And if you pause and you look and say, gosh, I just don't know that he is. I mean, it's been crazy around our house. You have an opportunity over the next week, leading into the weekend, to set that straight, to focus on Christ this Christmas season, to make it a priority that beyond the presents, beyond the time with family, beyond any of those things, we are going to focus on the true reason for the season, and that's Jesus. Maybe a believer here this morning, and God desires to use you this time of year because there are people that are close to you that do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and they're open to hearing about the light. They're open to hearing about the peace. They're open to hearing from you. Will you ask the Lord this morning to give you those opportunities, to open the doors for you to share with family members or friends or co-workers who Jesus is, that salvation's possible through him. You may be here this morning and for the first time you've realized that the focus of Christmas is on the Christ child who came into this world to offer forgiveness of your sins, make salvation possible for you. And this morning, you need to receive that free gift of salvation that Christ's birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection offers to you. Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we're just reminded that there is nothing in this world that can bear the weight of the spotlight this time of year besides Jesus. May we as your church shine the light where it needs to be. May we as your church be vessels just like John that you can use to prepare the way for Christ to come into the lives of our neighbors and our friends and our co-workers and our classmates. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.